And welcome to a special edition of the Endurance Hour podcast. This is Dave Erickson on location at the 9th annual Ironman 70.3 Hawaii here on the Big Island. You can find out more about the race by going to IronmanHanu.com. Today is going to be all about the Pro Press Conference, a chance for you to actually be here without having to travel to the island and hear what was going on at the Pro Press Conference. I will record it in its entirety and play it for you on this episode. But before we get to that, this is how you can contact the Endurance Hour podcast. You can call us on our Google voicemail, 720-295-9890. Email us anytime at endurancehour@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Keyword is Endurance Hour. That reminds me, we still have that contest going for the autograph from Chrissy Wellington of that Ironman travel tag that I got at Ironman Texas a few weeks back. The contest details are this. Once we reach 200 likes on our Facebook page, we will have a drawing for everyone who has liked the page for that travel tag, and we'll mail it to the winner. That's all you got to do. Like the page. If you've liked us already, you're in the drawing. You should tell your friends and family about it, because the sooner we get to 200, the sooner we will have that drawing. The Endurance Hour podcast is found on iTunes and Stitcher Smart Radio. Just type in Endurance Hour and you will find us right there. A little background here on Ironman 70.3 Hawaii, or Hanu. Hanu is the name in honor of the Hawaiian green sea turtle, so now you know. This race really does attract a field of outstanding age groupers and professional athletes looking for that race experience of a lifetime. And from what I've seen so far, I have to believe it. This is an amazing venue, incredible island, the prettiest place I've seen on the Big Island so far, and I've been here a few times. The athletes will be traveling over and through a variety of terrain, from white sandy beaches, the scorched lava fields of the Big Island, and lush green landscape, and really everything in between. This course really presents some major challenges for even the toughest and most talented athletes. It should be an incredible race this year. As far as the course, yes, it's a 1.2-mile swim beginning at Hapuna Beach State Park. I was there just yesterday with Greg Wells. We were doing a course preview piece, which you can see on swimbikerunvideos.com. People will be swimming in a rectangular form from left to right, coming back onto the beach. It's just one lap. And then there's a 56-mile bike course that goes along the Queen K, makes a turnaround at Javi. This is really the only other chance athletes will have to race on the Ironman World Championship bike course is at this race. And athletes will be facing some major winds. We're talking about tailwinds, headwinds, crosswinds on their way back here to the Fairmont Orchid Hotel, which is the host hotel of the event this year. Then they have that 13.1-mile run. It goes from golf fairways to paths to roadway, gravel, and everything, as I mentioned before, everything in between, before they come across the finish line back here at the Fairmont Orchid Hotel. There are plenty of great maps and topography layouts on IronmanHanu.com. Check it out for all the details there. As I mentioned a few weeks back, when I start going to these events for Ironman to cover them, I tend to go to the Pro Press conferences and record those interviews and put little clips together for Ironman's YouTube page. But recently, I've been recording them in their entirety with the plans of sharing it with you on the Endurance Hour podcast. So on the Pro panel this week for Friday before the race is an amazing cast of Olympic, Ironman, 70.3 Ironman, and Xterra athletes. We're talking about Chris Lieto, who has a home here on the Big Island, Mike Twelzik, Olympic triathlete Greg Bennett, Lance Armstrong, his resume speaks for itself, Lindsey Corbin, Bree Wee, and Melanie McQuaid. That is your pro panel for this Friday. I'm going to share it with you right now in its entirety, and when we come back, we'll talk about my race favorites for this weekend.
Let's welcome to the stage right now Mr. Chris Lieto. He's a local, also an Ironman champion. Greg Bennett from Australia. Let's put our hands together for the 5150 championship winner, Mr. Greg Bennett. He'll be racing in Kona this year as well. Miss Melanie McQuaid, three-time Xterra world champion. Miss Lindsey Corbin, she's also one of our Ironman champions from Coeur d'Alene. Miss Bree Wee, our local girl, Miss Bree Wee. Mikey Twelzik from Germany, please welcome Mike. Ironman Wisconsin champion, and Mr. Lance Armstrong. What's he ever done? All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a press conference and sort of an informal press conference and slash pro panel out there today. So this is for you guys. So the first part we conduct is a little bit like a press conference. So we'll get all that, the formalities out of the way first, and then we'll get into our pro panel a little bit later on, where we'll be asking all of our athletes a few little questions about racing and training and nutrition, whatever you desire. So right now, we'll start out with Melanie McQuaid, just down this end right here. So grab the mic there, Mel. Melanie, you've started off the year pretty well in 70.3 distance, but give us a little bit of background. I mean, three-time Xterra world champion, why 70.3?
I think this is on. Yeah. I think that it's exciting to try some new races and to try and develop my triathloning ability in some different in a variety of disciplines in triathlon. So 70.3 is actually not that much different in terms of energy system from the Xterra discipline, because the races are a similar kind of length. And I think for me, it's actually made me better at the key races in Xterra to have challenged myself a little bit more with 70.3. And I think some of the venues for 70.3 are outstanding, this one included. And so it's fun to go to some new places and to race some new people.
Thank you very much, Mel. Lindsay Corbin, I mean, Ironman champion, coming to this race looking for a good result. You know, to get ready for the year. You've been over here racing in the Ironman distance, but your thoughts about the course here? You know, it's been howling winds all week. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm definitely drawn to some of the more challenging events out there, and similar to Melanie, also the fun events. So this was a draw, a destination race with a challenging course, and I think it's a bonus that it takes part on the Ironman Hawaii course, where we'll hopefully be racing in October. And I think in particular, it's been pretty tough conditions. I've been out here for about 10 or 11 days training. And like I said, I'm a strength athlete. And so I think that the wind will suit my strengths and hopefully set me up with a good bike and a challenging run course, which I actually haven't had a chance to run on the course since it's on the golf course. So I'm looking forward to getting it. First-hand experience tomorrow.
Okay, thank you very much, Lindsay. We'll go over to Bree. Bree, racing locally in front of the crowd, you've got a lot of support here, and also quite a stacked field. Lindsay Corbin, Hilary Biscay, Kate Bevilacqua, Melanie McQuaid, just to name a few. Your thoughts on the competition here in Kona this year?
I think it's pretty exciting that in Honu's ninth year, we actually have a lot of great competition with on the men and the women's side, and I think that shows a lot to the amateur athletes racing, just knowing that pros have a choice what races they want to go to, and they've chosen this one. So I'm really thankful that the competition has come here to our backyard.
Bree, just one more question. You know, racing all these athletes, you know, such a great field here, you know, on the Kahala Coast. You know, on the Ironman course, I think it's a test for a lot of these athletes to come halfway through the year and go through their routines on the Ironman course, you know, for yourself. Is that the same sort of idea, or is it to get out here and, you know, and have a win?
I definitely want to have a win, but I think I'm just taking the advantage of sleeping in my own bed the night before a race.
What about you, Chris? You're going to be sleeping in your own bed. You're living in Kona for most of the year and enjoying it, obviously, but you are the king of the bike course over here when it comes to October. This race, half the distance, but it's on the very, very difficult part of the course. Your thoughts on the course?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is an amazing course. It's a good chance to race a part of the Ironman course, and like you said, the more challenging section. I mean, it's a lot of climbing. I believe it's at least 2,000 feet of climbing, if not more, in the section. So it's going to be challenging. This is also where the wind blows the most, and as you guys have all seen the last few days, it's the wind's blowing. It definitely does get worse than this, but this is going to be a challenging day. So let's pray that it doesn't get any worse, and hopefully get a little ease in the beginning of the morning, so we don't have to fight it all day. But I'm just happy to be here and love doing a hometown race.
Good. All right, Lance, pick up that microphone. Lance, first time racing on the Big Island. You've been over here training many, many different times, whether if it was, you know, training for your professional cycling races or, you know, getting ready for triathlon now. Give us an idea on a couple of different things. Firstly, how was your first race back in Panama? And then secondly, how excited are you to be racing on the Honu course?
Well, Panama was a new experience, obviously. I didn't know what to expect, and other than what I had gathered from just talking to guys, primarily this guy to my left before the race, and fortunately, I have actually just followed him during the race, actually, too. So that worked out kind of good, too. Well, I didn't follow too closely, but...
Hey, just one second, mate. This is not cycling. This is triathlon, so no drafting.
Right. I understand. Talk to Bennett. He was.
Right,
that's his question. Ask him. He was talking earlier about how close he's going to get. Never trust an Aussie.
Leave that thing turned on, by the way. Lance, then
this is when you insert the Maca jokes. But no, I'm sorry. I was way distracted. But no, I was pleased with Panama, pleased with the bike, and pleased with my run. I didn't know what to expect on the run, although I had been running a bit before that. But as most of us in this room probably well understand, most of us at this table well understand, this sport is not just about a swim and a bike and a run. It's also about nutrition and hydration and all the other things that go with it. And I struggled terribly with that, not just in Panama, but in St. Croix and in Galveston and all the other races. And that's truly the fourth and the fifth sports of this endeavor, and it's taken me, I finally, I think, figured it out in Florida, but I'm on a bit of a crash course to try to figure it out before too long, because I'm not getting any younger and I don't want to be around forever doing this. But it's a very, very challenging thing, and I know I read a lot, I read as much as I can about the subject. And I know that that all of us are in this together when we struggle with those things. So I can only imagine. But hopefully now it's okay. And what was the question about Honu?
Yeah, just what are your thoughts on racing here in Honu? I mean, you've trained over here on the Big Island, you know,
yeah,
significantly.
This is a great island to train on. I think people focus on, obviously they focus on the Ironman course, which is really just this corridor of the Queen K. And if you're the months and months that I've spent here, I've really tried to get out beyond that. So whether it's going south of Kona down to Captain Cook, or riding up Coloco, or even, you know, when you get to Javi, just don't turn around and come back, but go up over the Kahalas, back to Waimea, back in. So you can really start to create, I found, you can really start to create some great cycling loops. And so it's sort of against my religion to go out and back every day. So I've always tried to put these loops together, even on the other side, on the Hilo side, the old Mamalahoa Highway. And again, I had a dude on Twitter bet me $10,000 that I couldn't ride up the Waipio Valley, which he lost the bet. which is also an out and back, but it was 10 grand to my foundation, so I felt like it was a solid endeavor. But I've found it to be an amazing place for riding, and then obviously for swimming and running, it's equally as good.
Great. Okay, good luck out there on the weekend. Gregory Bennett, Greg, last year, 51-50 at the ripe old age of 40 years old, go to the championship race. You've you know, and you walked away with, what was it, $200,000, and it earned you a spot for Kona. All you had to do to get your spot for Kona this year was validate down in Melbourne. So I want to hear about your first Ironman experience. How was that?
You don't want to hear about that. Look, I went there. I was fortunate enough to win in Hy-Vee last year and the big race. And, you know, there's a group of us that are over 40 up here on the table, so don't just be pointing fingers at me. This guy's 41 and he's 40, so I think the 40-year-old age group is actually pretty loaded in this race, this one. Melbourne, for me, look, it was a validation race. It was a race that I had to get through. I did want to... I had goals of, you know, getting off the bike in the lead group and running with the leaders for the first few, maybe 10 to 15, you know, kilometres. But that wasn't to be. I got to about 120k on the bike and my quads completely froze up, and, you know, and a bit like what Lance was saying, I think my nutrition wasn't perfect, and, you know, when I got to about 4 hours in, I was in trouble. And, you know, my brothers are both ex-professional rugby players, so I already feel I'm sort of pushing the envelope of the genetics going to Olympic distance. So to keep going to half Ironman and even Ironman is it's a long way for me. And you know, Lance has now done more of these 70.3s than I have. I've done three, a 1-1 DNF another and finished 40th at World Champ. So my record is not that great. So I sort of come here, you know, a bit of experience as well, and try and figure this, steps 4 and 5 out, like Lance said, the nutrition and the hydration. And, you know, but to be honest, I'm just so excited to be here. Yesterday was the first time I've ever driven up to Harvey. You know, Lance is talking about riding the whole island. I've never been here apart from sort of flying in to watch the Ironman for the weekend and never really leaving Kona. So for me, this is really exciting. And, you know, to hear that I've got to climb 2,000 feet of elevation, thanks to the tip. So now I know there's a bit of climbing. I can really start thinking about it tonight. And look, to be honest, on the drive, I've got the music on and I'm talking to my wife, and it's kind of like, it's over. You know, I've got my work cut out tomorrow, no doubt. You know, we got Mikey here that no one's talked about just yet, one of the strongest bikers in our sport, and then this guy needs no introduction. And then obviously Chris Lieto, the only time I raced him in Malibu a few years ago, I got onto the bike course just in front of him. I'm riding along at about 30 miles an hour thinking, this is pretty good. Chris comes storming by. Mac is 7 meters behind, going, age group rules, 7 meters. I'm like, okay. So I get on the back and I'm like, this isn't too bad. Suddenly I look down and we're going about 36 miles an hour. I'm like, So I know what I'm in for tomorrow with these guys, and hopefully I can keep them close. But it's not 7 meters either, so I'm in big trouble.
We have a different rule over here for our pro race. That's 12 metres on our pro race. So anyway, just to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, Greg Bennett last year absolutely destroyed the field in high V with his fastest bike split of the day, and he was minutes faster than anybody else at 40 years of age. So I think he's trying to put the brakes on these guys up here at the moment. But all right, let's get over to Makey 12 tip. Greg did make mention that you are one of the fastest bikers in the sport. Absolutely agree with that. I think we've got three of the fastest guys in the sport on their bikes up here right now. And Greggy, I put you right up there with them, so no sandbagging, all right? So, mate, how is it to be here, mate? I know that you raced St. George just a couple of weeks ago. About that experience, it was a very difficult experience. Have you recovered enough to come here and race well?
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. I like it on the corner. It's the first time to play Fono, and I really love it here. It's great. I'm looking forward. It's part of the Ironman course, and I think the most important one, or toughest one, where it's always getting ugly. So, and I arrived yesterday here on the island, and I've been a few times already here, and it has never been as windy as it is right now for me. So I have respect for it. The way down from Harvey with the side wind, it's pretty windy, and we'll see what's going on. Yeah, a few fast riders on the table, and yeah, we'll see what's going on.
Okay, we've got some members of the press, so we just want to get a couple of press questions out of the way. So if you've got some questions down there, let's get those answered at this time before we move over to the pro panel side of it and talk a little bit more informally. So have we got anything? You want to ask any questions? Really quickly, we can have some one-on-ones, but they'll be done really quickly. So make sure you have your questions ready. So we'd like to get a few of those questions out of the way now, because we won't have that much time. The athletes have to get off for another meeting and then go put their bikes in. They have to put their bikes in this afternoon. Yep, what you got? Do you have anything for us? I'm looking right at you, brother. Sorry.
Don't do that in an auction. You'll be in trouble.
Yeah, don't put your hand up. Might cost you some money. Question is for Lance Armstrong. Raced a couple of weeks ago in Florida, looking to open up a gap. Same sort of tactics?
Well, I did, although it's difficult, it's impossible to compare races course to course and field to field. I mean, they're all very differently. The dynamics are different. What I saw, I mean, Panama, let's just call that a tremendous learning experience. And I, as I said a minute ago, I just kind of followed Chris around. In Galveston, you had a race that was almost more strategic than I ever thought, with the wind and some long story. St. Croix, perhaps I made some tactical mistakes trying to, when I caught the two guys that were in front, I waited probably too long and then pushed my effort towards the last part of the bike ride, which gave me 2 minutes, but I also had a very hard effort leading into T2, which is never great when you're starting to run. So in Florida, my goal was to have a consistent ride, consistent effort, ride very hard from the very beginning, but not sit up, not wait, not play games, just put my head down, know that I could ride at the wattage level that I had in my mind. And that worked. I mean, I think that's, you know, I've heard from a lot of people, dude, you won the Tour de France 7 times, you need to utilize your strength. I mean, go out there, swim the way you swim, which is okay. And then get on the bike and do your thing. And so I plan on trying to do that tomorrow. Of course, you never know how you wake up and feel, but hope to have a good swim and put it on a certain wattage level, which is hopefully fast enough to get away.
Also, Lance will be competing in 3 weeks' time in the Nice Ironman Triathlon. It will be Lance's first Ironman try as well. So he's coming off a very good victory a couple of weeks ago, and 3 weeks later competing here, and then 3 weeks later competing in Nice. All right, my question, I have a question for Melanie McQuaid. Melanie, over the last few years, you've really showed you know what you're all about, an incredible world champion, 3-time Xterra world champion. That is another sport in itself. It is very, very tough. Coming into 70.3 races, you're known for laying it all on the line, on the swim and the bike, and then just hanging on for dear life in the run. And you are a great runner.
Are you saying I suck at running?
I actually...
You're saying I suck at running?
No, I redeemed myself before you stuck your little nosy nose in there and rudely commented on my comments, but that's okay. But Mel, you know, going into this race, we know you're in great shape, and to go into the run, you know, laying it all out there, you know, building up those big leads, is that sort of the strategy that you're going to tell your athletes here right now about?
I can't give anything away. Lindsay's sitting right here, so...
Well, what about Bree? She feels bad about that now.
But I think that it's no secret I suck at running, so I probably need to lead off the bike anyways. And I think I'm still trying to figure out how to ride a time trial bike. I'm really good if there's lots of trees and rocks and like descents and things like that, but a time trial bike is so sketchy, like the road is hard, and I tend to find it a little scary. So I'm gonna have either one like clipped out trying to turn in the corners and stuff. No, I'm just kidding, I can actually ride a turn. No, seriously, I think that I'm much better when it's a non-wetsuit swim, so I'm pretty happy about that, and I always find it really motivating when there's an aquarium underneath me, so I'm pretty excited about that swim. And then, obviously, the bike, as long as the wind doesn't take me out, I'm definitely going to try and ride as fast as I can, because I'm not going to have the fastest run split. But it probably won't suck completely, so hopefully I can hold on if I manage to get any kind of a lead on the girls in the race. So, yeah, there's no... But I think the biggest thing for me is it's quite hot here, and the run is going to be extra long, so that's not my favorite. But I like the fact that there's some grass and stuff, so it'll kind of feel Xterra style. So I'm actually looking forward to that horribly hard and heinous run that they were telling me about.
Okay, thanks, Mel. We got time for a few more press questions. Okay, the question is strategy around preparing for a race with wind, and maybe we'll ask Lindsay. Lindsay, you're from Montana, come over to Kona to race on the Kahala Coast, knowing that it's very windy. Let's talk about wheel choice.
Yeah, you know, I think I will be riding a pretty aggressive wheel choice. Some people might consider I'll be riding a set of Zip 808 wheels. And I think I'm pretty confident in myself as a cyclist. I think I'm just anticipating it's going to be really windy tomorrow. And if it's not windy, that's going to be bonus. You know, we'll just go faster. But the wind blows both directions and crossways. So, you know, what goes up, what goes down, headwind, you're going to have a tailwind and be going fast. And I guess if there's any age groupers in here racing, a piece of advice I would give is put the weight on the front of your bike when you're coming down into those winds. You know, I think everyone's inclination is to sit up on top of their aero bars in the winds, and that you just become a sail. And so I try to ride pretty aggressively and think of myself as a bullet shooting through the wind and play mind games. Hopefully it helps out. But like I said, I think we can all plan on it being hot and windy and humid out there. And, you know, it's going to be a survival fest, I think, but it's going to be awesome. I hear the post-race libations are one to look forward to, so count me in for that.
Okay, I'd like to have Bree and Chris also just comment a little bit about the conditions here. You train here a lot. What can you, piece of advice that you would give, you know, an age group athlete? We've already talked about, you know, a little bit about, you know, Lindsay, you know, saying let's keep the weight on the front of the bike there. What about nutrition, you know, on the islands? Is it a little bit different than anybody anywhere else? The humidity levels are a little bit higher. Electrolyte levels need to be higher also. So, Bree, what do you got for us there?
I would definitely say add a little salt into your diet tonight on your pre-race dinner, sprinkle some on top of there, maybe get some of that base salt, and tomorrow probably add a little bit more in your water bottles. And I think it's going to be different for everyone. Like, there's a lot of strong cyclists up here, so I'm sure that they're going to be just fine grabbing and opening gel packs going up the hill and in the crosswinds. But if you're not as confident on the bike, what a lot of people do that's worked for them is to put your calories in your bottles, which is a lot easier than having to open gels and rip open bars. And that's a pretty good secret a lot of the athletes use over here.
All right, Chris, can you just comment a little bit about, you know, I think there's a lot of anxious people out there with the wind conditions and everything. So what's your advice to the age group athlete going through the cutouts? You know, the rock cutouts there, it's probably a good area to, you know, take on some nutrition. And coming back down from Upolu Airport, where the Harvey Wind Farm is, you know, it gets pretty difficult coming downhill. You can reach some pretty, you know, hairy speeds.
Yeah, I would definitely encourage you guys to stay within your own sort of comfort zone. I don't know if everyone's had a chance to go out and ride the course or experience the winds. If you have not, the winds are blowing. It's not just like a normal blow of wind. It's gusts, so it can be calm, and all of a sudden a big gust will hit you, and it'll throw your bike over to the side a little bit. So you have to be aware and conscious of what's going on. And as you're riding up to Javi, you'll see that the terrain is rolling. That's right next to you, little valleys that you'll see, and you'll get a little bit of a protection. And you'll feel like the wind's gone. All of a sudden, you'll pop out of that protection. You'll get hit by, you know, a 25 mile an hour gust. And you'll go from no wind to 25 gusts, and you'll get blown across the road a little bit. So you just have to be watching what's going on, seeing where those gaps are, and embracing yourself for those. For me, since I've been riding here a lot, and I've done the Ironman on this course and had some very gusty days. I think we had one year during the Ironman, we had 50 mile an hour gusts. So it's about twice as bad as it is right now. And coming down from Javi that year, for example, I didn't drink anything for 45 minutes because I couldn't take my hands off the bars because I was afraid I'd get blown off my bike. So here it's not as bad, but for me, I just stay in the aero bars and I just try to ride as hard as I can. You know, I'm here to race as hard as I can. I have to outride some of these guys because my run's not quite as good as Greg's right here. Greg is a phenomenal runner, so I got to make sure I have a little gap on him. So I ride as hard as I can. I stay in my aero bars and I pray a lot that the gust doesn't blow me over. So that's about it.
All right, we got any more questions from our press? I'm going to open it up to the floor now, up to our panel here. They've got about a half a dozen questions in them this afternoon. This is your time to get active and close up and personal with our athletes. So now is the time to ask some questions. Otherwise, we're going to wrap up here and let our athletes go off to their next meeting and get down to put their bikes in as well. So got any questions out there? Now is your time. Got some questions? Okay, we got one down here. Question for Lance, what hurts more, triathlon or cycling?
Well, I can tell you my experiences in Galveston and St. Croix were much more painful than anything. I had one really, really bad day like that in cycling in 2003, the first time trial into Cap de Couvert, but I never in those 7 years of winning the Tour had anything that felt like the last 3 or 4 miles of Galveston and St. Croix, where you literally said, I would do anything, say anything, pay anything to get out of here. Right now. Get me the out of here. And the only other time I had that in cycling was once, and that was that. And oddly enough, that was also a hydration and nutrition issue too. So that's just the thing. I mean, you get put on the ropes with those things, and it's very, very difficult to come out of them until you're, you know, back home, and it takes days and weeks. And so, no, it's been tough, man. This is a hard game. It's an individual game, and cycling is, as most of us know, is really a team game. I'm with guys all the time. We ride along. Actually, Greg and I were just talking, like, what's the problem? I mean, you ate on a bike for 20 years. But it's different when you're riding along around France and you're going 20 miles an hour most of the time and kind of shooting and have, you know, the BS with your buddies, and guys are bringing you food and bringing you bottles. And I mean, it's just different. And when you get to Alpe d'Huez, you know, nobody's over there going, okay, what should I eat on Alpe d'Huez? I mean, that has to be done, and you just go and your race is over. But most of the time, you're protected by your teammates and protected by the peloton. And this is just completely different. You're out there all alone. So it's been, although I felt the challenges 20 years ago, they were nothing like what I felt this time, because the distances are longer and I race much shorter distances back then.
Next question. Hand up, I'm going to see a hand right there.
Greg, what advice do you have for open water swimming?
Greg Bennett, the question is, what advice do you have swimming open water?
I'm probably, for me, I grew up, I learned to swim catching waves, so I've never really been a fantastic pool swimmer, and I think for a lot of Australians, we don't actually spend a lot of time in the pool, so it almost gets to the point, our knowledge of open water swimming is almost innate. We don't even know why we become good open water swimmers. I think it's, I think I remember when I was two, my dad putting me on a wave in the surf and suddenly I'm moving along the wave and started swimming. And that's kind of how we learnt when we grew up in Australia. So a lot of this open water swimming now is, it comes pretty naturally to me. Cycling is important. Finding feet and getting a good draft is important. Try not to swim next to somebody, because you both just wear each other down. Have one person lead and the other one to follow is always faster. And then cadence. Keep the cadence up. Forget pool swimming and long, slow strokes and pushing out the back. Just turn your arms over as fast as you can.
Question up the back. Question is for Lance about wattage.
Did you hear the question?
It's about wattage. Speak English?
Say it a little louder. It's a question about wattage.
What's the wattage do you have in your mind you want to hold tomorrow? Like,
you want me to say that in front of everybody? Come on.
That'd be a nice try.
Well, first of all, I think there's a big difference in the power meters these days. So there's two things to remember. SRM is different than Quark, it's different than PowerTap and all the other power meters that are out there. That's number one. Number two, whether or not they're calibrated properly. Like, you can go on all the forums and all the things that you guys love to do, and guys post their power outputs, et cetera, guys and gals. Who knows if that particular power meter is the same that you ride? Perhaps it's not calibrated. All of these things you have to take into consideration. So I like to think that mine is perfect. But just because I'm in the sense that I get it calibrated all the time and I stick with that one power meter, and so that's the one that I trust the most. So in my mind, that's what I use as a... Anyways, this is a long way around telling you that I'm not going to tell you. So, One a friend of mine goes on Strava and does his stuff, but that's just an estimation, because I don't dump the power files, or my friend doesn't dump the power files into Strava. But it will be north of 300 and south of 400.
It's
for this distance, not for, obviously, for a full, you have to, well, I'll find out in 3 weeks, I guess.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago in San Diego at the World Cup race and the Olympic qualifier, guys were pushing over 1,000 watts out of the corners and holding that for about 10 seconds out of the corners. But that's not the same as, riding in a time trial position for 5 hours. So, everyone's different. All right, next question, right here in the center. Swimming in the Hapuna Bay.
my friend from Oahu. Yeah, definitely, you need to sight off that corner rock out there, because Lance brought this up in the pro meeting, there isn't going to be buoys starting from the start buoy out to that first turn buoy, and if you don't have good eyes, then use the rock. That really, really helps. And then I would definitely go with darker goggles, because when you get to the one section, it's going to be the sun coming up over Hualalai and all that area, and you might run into a bit of a trouble there. And then another piece of advice is you're going to have a little bit of current. There's always current in Hapuna one way. It's not usually very strong, but there definitely will be some changes. So know that and be okay with it, and realize that everyone's going to have that little bit of current. So don't feel like I'm swimming horrible. It's definitely going to be out there just a little bit.
Okay, some will be getting up just before race start. Just like Bree said, over Hualalai, Mauna Kea. So if you breathe off to the right side, along the back side of the race course, that's where it's going to be in your face there. So, all right, we've got time for two more questions. If we've got two more hands, we will take them. If not, we're going to wrap up. One over here, purple shirt. Can you speak up? Can you speak up, please? Question is, you won a lot of races in cycling, why switch to triathlon? Because she said that he was pretty hopeless.
Now it's on. Yeah, it's been hard getting out of my own way this year, but you know, I sometimes ask myself that question, I've talked a little bit about this before, but I'm having a good time. This is a sport that I did two decades ago, and I went off and rode the bike and raced the bike for a while, and I'm back. And it's for whatever reason, it's just something that I think makes my life better at the time. I need a challenge in life. I love to exercise. I love to stay fit. You know, you bring up cycling, if you look at the history of professional cyclists, you know, they're great champions for 10 or 15 or 20, however long. And you know, there's these guys that walk around for years, for decades, at 3% body fat, and you see them a year or two later, well, they don't quite look like that anymore, unfortunately. So I didn't want to slip into that place, and so I just, it started innocently enough. I just kind of got back and joined the Masters team and got back in the pool, enjoyed that. Went out and messed around with some Xteras, which, yeah, that was a whole nother. It was a separate conversation her and I can have, but that was not, anyways. And then I just had this challenge. Obviously, this event, events like this, the big one in October, this island draws people to it, and it moved me. And I wanted to be here. And look, I have to ask myself that question every day when I go out. Do I want to do this? Do I want to be driving to the pool? Do I want to be out here on a bike ride? Do I want to be on a 20-mile run? And every day the answer comes back, hell yeah. And so, you know, I can't deny that, and so I'm going to continue doing it. I know I can't do it until I'm 50, but. At least at a high level, but I'm going to do it for as long as I can.
Why not?
Yeah. Lance,
that sounded, wait a second. That was a voice north of 50. Who said that? Oh, no, 32, sorry.
You also threw a 32. Toward the front of the
65.
Room.
65, see, there you go. See? Her press conference will be next. We'll all leave. Have a good time.
You must remember that Lance started triathlon when he was 15 years old. He was a national junior champion at 16. And at the end of his 19th year, he went off to cycling. And all I can say is, Lance, welcome home.
Well, and for those guys and gals who know Greg Welch, he's won the Ironman, he's done all these things, there was a time. Don't. No, no. You stand up here and make fun of us athletes all the time. Here we go. 1989 or 90, there was a big duathlon series called the Coors Light. At the time, I think it was called the Biathlon Series before they changed the name of the sport. It's a run, bike, run, obviously, and we get off the bike together. You and Sousa were up the road. Sousa took off on the bike. I never saw him again. I blew past you. Let me finish. Right. Here's an old season guy about to win the Ironman. This kid, 18 years old, blows by him on the bike. And you never catches him on the run, and I get second, and you got third. So there you go.
Huh? I can take that. All right, we're going to wrap this thing up. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for coming down. Would you give a round of applause for Melanie McQuaid, Lindsay Corbin, Bree Wee, Chris Lieto, Lance Armstrong, Greg Bennett, and Mike Wilkins.
There you have it. I just saved you $1,000 in airfare and hotel, so you don't have to come here and see it and listen to it in person. You can always listen to it on the Endurance Hour podcast. That is your pro panel for Ironman 70.3 Hawaii. So, who do you think will win on Saturday? Who for the men? Well, I think it really will be between Lance Armstrong and Greg Bennett. Greg Bennett is in great form. He's a great all-around triathlete from swimming to cycling and running. Lance Armstrong coming off his first victory at the Ironman 70.3 level in Florida just 2 weeks ago. He was third 2 weeks prior at Ironman 70.3 St. Croix. So he's really doing his third 70.3 in 4 weeks. We'll see if he is rested. His ultimate goal, of course, is to race Kona, but he has to do Ironman France, and he'll do that in June. So I think he's confident. I'm talking about Lance. I think he's confident, and he wants to win, but he has some stiff competition in Greg Bennett. For the women, the three that you just heard on the Pro Press Conference, Lindsay, Bree, and Melanie, I'm thinking Lindsay's going to win this one. She, too, is just firing in all cylinders. She seems to be healthy. She's doing very well. Melanie McQuaid, she's familiar with the island. She's a multiple Xterra world champion, so she knows how to deal with these conditions. I shared a rental car bus ride with her from the airport to the rental car center just a couple of days ago. Chance to chat with her a little bit. I don't know exactly how she's feeling per se, but I would suspect she'll be in the top three. Usually when you have these pro press conferences, the people on the panel tend to be the people on the podium at the end of the day on the race. So there you have it. Those are my guesses. Those are my picks for Ironman 70.3 Hawaii. Let me know what you think. You can give us an email, endurancehour@gmail.com, or leave us a message on Facebook and Twitter. Just that easy. That'll do it for this special edition of the Endurance Hour podcast on location at the 9th annual Ironman 70.3 Hawaii race. I'm Dave Erickson. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Don't let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere. Look at that sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young.